name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe you saw it live or on tape. The setting was the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. On November 20th, after 25 years of being home to the Atlanta Falcons, her time was done. In the early morning hours, the countdown began. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There was a brief period of silence, and then you heard the detonators going off in perfect unison, followed by plumes of smoke from around the base of the facility, billowing into the cloudless Georgia sky. Then, in an intense moment of anticipation, of waiting, a time pregnant with impatient watching, at first slowly, the crumbling began. Then, gaining momentum, within a matter of seconds, the donut hole-shaped structure imploded on herself. The Georgia Dome came down gracefully and completely. As the dust settled upon her remains, there was an aura of Southern dignity. Bless her heart. That was 3 weeks ago. Then, last week, on December 3rd, the setting was the Silver Dome in Dearborn, Michigan. After 42 years of being home to the Detroit Lions, her time was done. Once again, in the early hours, the countdown began.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There was a brief period of silence, and then you heard the detonators going off in perfect unison, followed by plumes of smoke from around the base of the facility, billowing into the cloudless Michigan sky. Then, in an intense moment of anticipation, of waiting, a time pregnant with impatient watching by dignitaries and former football players and live TV coverage, the wait continued. And continued. Other than the leftover evaporating plumes of smoke, there was nothing. No movement, no destruction, no implosion. Clearly, something went wrong. The Silver Dome continued to stand. The only thing left from the experience was awkward and probably profound embarrassment. In contrast to the dignity of the Georgia Dome's demise, the Silver Dome looked a bit sheepish, standing naked to the spectators. And in case you were wondering, the same company was the contractor for both. Now, I want to let you know that I have not transitioned to being a commentator for ESPN. I'm very aware that I'm in the pulpit and this is the second Sunday of Advent. But I thought the concept of waiting, embedded in those two stories, expectant waiting for the same thing, yet with two outcomes, is a strong metaphor for the theological season we are experiencing. And I invite you to consider how each narrative illustrates the breadth of what Advent symbolizes and potentially offers us. On the one hand, these 4 weeks can lull ourselves into a sense of complacency, to consider this idle time. Advent can trick us into pausing with no intentional goal of restarting. We can settle into familiar patterns, defaulting to old routines. Furthermore, we are distracted by the busyness of Christmas that overrides our intention of slowing down. Even if we verbalize, "I am waiting for the coming of the Lord," the reality is, I'm not sure where baby Jesus would find a place. My calendar is full, there's no room in the inn, and I have no stable. For some of us who feel that description applies, the Georgia Dome countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we might need an implosion in our lives to wake us up, to make room for the new. I offer you a portion of a prayer, author unknown, which starts out, "God of mercy and of grace, you constantly startle and surprise us. You shake us out of our complacency and casualness. You reveal your presence to us in unexpected places, in unexpected times, through unexpected people, and in unexpected forms. As we enter the season of Advent, as we await the coming of your Son, may this reality enable us to be receptive and responsive, awake and alert to the demands of the gospel. Amen." I love that. A God that startles and surprises, a God that shakes us out of our casualness and complacency. Dr. Karen Wiseman says it this way: there are two kinds of waiting, passive and active. Passive waiting means you allow things to happen around you without intervening or doing anything in the middle of that wait to help time move along. It means letting things happen without action. On the other hand, active waiting means to be physically, emotionally, and psychologically active in the moments, helping with the wait by actively parting with the word around you and engaging the people and places in your life. You know, for some of us, that active waiting might need to be triggered by detonating our complacent spirit. And God has a way of doing that. In contrast to the Georgia Dome approach, for others, their spirit is in need of the deafening silence following the unsuccessful attempt to collapse the Silver Dome. Advent offers that invitation as well, to seek a place within yourself and around yourself where the silence is theologically resounding. And in that place of solitude, you can surrender your wants to only that which is your need. You can empty your ego and arrogance in order to bid humility and vulnerability. Joan Chittister writes that Advent is about the power of emptiness and the spiritual meaning of smallness. When Advent seeps into our souls, we come to understand that small is not nothing and empty is not bereaved. To be empty is to be available inside, to attend to something other than the self. She concludes, "We thus become full of the blessings of life. This perspective is represented by the solitary emptiness of the still-standing Pontiac Dome, empty and blessed. And so here we are in the countdown of Advent, December 10th. Location is the Church of the Redeemer. It's a beautiful morning. I wonder, do you see yourself waiting in Atlanta or Michigan? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen.